Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, when we were in worship there, the Lord brought to my remembrance 1 Corinthians 1:27. It says, "But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty." Glory to God. That's not all he said, though. As he brought that to me, I also heard, you better get used to it. Glory to God. You better get used to God using the foolish things of the world. Amen. Sometimes, you know, I remember as I was being raised in the church, you know, I didn't have a desire to be a pastor. I didn't desire to be used of God in that way of myself. Amen. I just desired to serve. But praise God, God uses the foolish things of the world. Amen. God's endeavoring to get something done here on the earth. And he's going to do it through people that are less than perfect. Amen. And I don't just say that for myself, but I say that for all of us. It doesn't matter how you came in tonight. It doesn't matter where you came from tonight. All that matters is how you continue on. Amen. And if you desire to get into the greater things of God, he will keep taking you there. Amen. There'll be one level of glory to another. Praise the Lord. Because God loves us. He cares for he wanted his plan. And this is the funniest thing about this. You know, I was meditating on this week. But his plan was to use us. You know, his plan, God could have, you know, I said recently, you know, God could appear 1,000 feet tall over Chautauqua Lake right now if he wanted to. Yeah. Praise the Lord. But that's not the way he desires to do things. He desires that people see him through us. Yeah. Amen. And I just love that. I just love that God can use people that are less than perfect. Amen. I'm thankful that God can use situations that are less than perfect, and he can make work perfectly. Amen. And this kind of actually leads into my message. Tonight's message is called, "You Are Living Your Thoughts." Praise the Lord. You are living your thoughts. You know, God has been dealing with me so much about lately about what I meditate on, what I think on, you know, and always bringing it back to him. You know, I love the scripture, Isaiah 26:3. It says, you know, he will keep them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him because they trust in him. And that word stayed, you know, I got into that even this afternoon. I looked in that. That word stayed means set. It means, you know, and when I hear set, I think about concrete. You know, concrete is not easily moved. Amen. And, you know, it's an act of obedience, but it's an act of diligence to keep our minds stayed on God. You know, your thoughts are going to want to wander all the time. Your thoughts are going to want to go to various places. I have a very active mind, a very overactive imagination, praise the Lord. And sometimes it's a lot of work to keep my thoughts in the right place, amen? But, you know, God isn't that far away. He's not too far from us. He hasn't gone that far. And even if you don't know God, you know, this is a great thing about him. Even if you've never met him before, you can learn very quickly just through his word about his character. You know, I was thinking about this as well, is when you think about somebody, you don't necessarily think of just that person as a being. You think of that person's character. You know, when you think about somebody, you think about whether you like them or don't like them. You think about, and usually that's all determined by how they've acted towards you, but it's by their character, amen? Well, you know, if how many know that life would be a lot easier sometimes if the people we met, the people that we had to work with, the people that we were going to date, the people we were going to marry. How many know that it would be a lot easier if we had a written account of how their character was? Yeah. Amen? Ahead of time. If we could see up front, if somebody said, here, you know, you met someone, you said, okay, let me see your book. And you hand them your book, and they go through, they start thumbing through, and they get through the first couple chapters of your book, and they're like, yeah, I don't know if I want to continue in this relationship. Amen? Praise the Lord. But see, we've been given a book. Amen? We've been given the character of God written down. And so in case you didn't know, amen? And some people don't know, but in case you didn't know, we've been given the character of God, and all we have to do is how do we keep our mind stayed on God? We keep it in the Word. We keep pressing towards the things of God. We look at the Word. We constantly remind ourselves of the truth that's in the Word, no matter what our trials are, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what's coming against us. We go back to the Word and go back to the Word. Great peace have those whose mind is stayed on Him. Amen. How do you stay your mind on Him? You stay it on with the Word. Glory to God. And as we continue in the Word, as we continue seeking God and looking to his word. You know, I've been finding it very helpful as I pray. to, you know, when I pray in the Spirit, to actually open the Word and pray as I'm reading the Word and look at the Word and go back to the Word and I think about the Word. And every time I do this, praise God, my mind goes to that place of peace. Glory to God. You know, when we all have ways, you have ways of, you like to do things, amen? You kind of have a routine sometimes. Well, I have a routine as well. And one of those routines I was planning on doing today to start preparing the message and... Because as I woke up, I just still didn't have direction for what I was going to preach tonight. And so, I have this routine I was going to do, but the routine was thwarted by circumstances that were beyond my control, amen? And, how many know that when your routine is disrupted, sometimes you can be disrupted, amen? You can feel like, I just can't get in there. This is against what I was going to do, and now I got to figure out something else. And then you get all miscombobbled and whatever, you know, praise the Lord. But as I sat and got in the Word, and as I sat and prayed, you know, as I sat and did these things, the Lord led me, praise God. And He opened that door, and I found peace in the midst of that mini chaos, hallelujah. And so today we're talking about our thoughts. Our lives are a combination of the thoughts that we've been thinking, amen? Our lives, our actions are what we've been meditating on, what we've been thinking about, praise the Lord. And this is why, as a person who has suffered in the past from such great depression and stuff like that, I understand more than a lot of people how much thoughts matter. You know, negative thoughts, they always try to pull you in. They try to pull you towards things that aren't right. They try to pull you really away from the Word of God. Amen. And we don't want to go that way. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you follow your thought through, what's the end of it? And this is something that we need to ask ourselves often. If I follow this thought all the way through to the end, amen, what's the end of it going to be? I can get mad at somebody in traffic. If somebody's driving in front of me, or in fact, this morning I did, hallelujah. I part of my plan was to get going at a certain time, and of course I was 2 minutes later than I was supposed to be, and that means that I had to drive 2 minutes faster to get to where I was going to be on time, amen? And as I was driving, somebody pulled out in front of me, and they decided to drive 5 minutes slower than I was, amen? Glory to God, and you know the feeling. We've all been there, amen? And we can have thoughts in those moments. You know what the funniest thing is? I find this always happens while I'm praying in the Spirit. I'll be driving, praying in the Spirit, then all of a sudden somebody, and then I start having thoughts. And what does that do? It takes my mind away from the Spirit. It takes my mind away from God. And so I'm having these thoughts, and you know, I'm trying to keep them right. But if you follow those thoughts through to the end, if you're having bad thoughts, the outcome usually isn't something that's desirable. It's not something that's good. And so we have to understand that. A person who dwells on a certain thought long enough, they'll end up acting on it. Amen? And so, of course, we see this in Scripture. Praise the Lord. Why don't you turn to Proverbs 23:7. Glory to God. Proverbs 23:7. And as we're turning there, I'm going to share something with you that the Lord spoke to me this afternoon. Amen? This is what I heard in my spirit. A bad thought dwelt upon becomes a bondage to your life. A bad thought dwelt upon becomes a bondage to your life. That's not a good thing, amen? But we understand that, you know, John 8:31-32, of course, we talk about that scripture often. We, you know, have it on the walls. We put it up on the screen. You know, Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and truth shall set you free. Praise the Lord. Well, how is it that the truth sets us free? Because the truth that is meditated upon takes our focus off of the things where that are our bondage in our lives, amen? Those are the things that free us. This message is a message that everybody needs. This is a message that, you may come in here even feeling happy, but at some point you're going to deal with thoughts, and we have to understand that it's those thoughts that are dwelt upon that become the bondages in our life, the things that control us, the things that keep us from all that God has for us, amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And Proverbs 23:7, of course, a scripture that should be familiar with for us. Praise the Lord. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. Glory to God. You notice here it doesn't say as he thought in his heart, but as he thinks in his heart. You know, just having a thought isn't going to make you a bad person. We can have bad thoughts. Has there anybody been had a bad thought today? Praise the Lord. Well, I'm looking at a bunch of good people. I look around. I think you're all pretty awesome people. But, just because you had a bad thought doesn't make you a bad person. But when you think, the Bible says, as he thinks in his heart, so is he. It's because a continued thought ends up becoming an action, and that action becomes a way of life, and that way of life becomes who you are. It's what defines us. Amen? We have to be careful of this. We have to consider the thoughts. We strongly have to consider the thoughts that we're thinking. We have to think strongly about the things that we're allowing in. We have to think, because, of course, we have things. We have all kinds of things all the time that will guide us in that. Amen. We got TV, we got radio, we got the news. We have all different kinds of things that want to lead us. And then, of course, we have that little devil sitting on our shoulder who just likes to whisper in our ear. He likes to give you a thought, doesn't he? He likes to say, have you ever had a thought where you just didn't know where it come from? You're just like, man, I don't know. This thought, if people knew I was thinking this thought, man, glory to God, hallelujah. As a pastor, I think of that all the time. Your pastors will have thoughts, praise the Lord, that sometimes aren't very beneficial to you or me or anybody else. I've had thoughts of quitting. I've had thoughts of not wanting to do it anymore. And if I follow that thought through, if I allow that, if I keep thinking that thought without doing something with it, what happens? That will become a bondage in my life. That will keep me from entering those things that God has for me. This is a very important scripture for us. It's something that we have to get used to. And it's something that we have to know beyond maybe anything else. The Bible says a lot about meditating in the Word, and it talks to how we build faith. But all of those things, faith is the output of what you've been thinking on. Amen. If you think about your circumstances all the time, if you think about the things that are happening bad all the time, then that's going to diminish your faith. And conversely, if you think about God's word all the time, if you think about what God said about the situation all the time, if you think about God all the time, praise the Lord, your faith will grow. Your faith will increase. How do I know this? Well, I know this from experience. As I've learned to step out in faith, as I've learned to think the right thoughts, to think right about God, amen? When I remember growing up, I had this idea that God was the one who caused all the trial. I know there's a lot of religions that still teach this kind of stuff. And honestly, they teach it partially because of how the translation of the Bible is. Now, I'm not against the translation of the Bible. I use the New King James. Praise the Lord. It's just a newer version of the King James. Some people say I'm a heretic for that. Well, praise the Lord for them. Glory to God. We were not going to have bad thoughts about them, but that's okay. You can use whatever you feel you have to. But we have to understand something, that even the King James Version was translated from people who believed in predestination. And that being said, they translated it from that standpoint with that idea that God causes. So in things where maybe it should have said that God would allow something, it says that God caused this. And we understand this. How do we understand? Is this just Pastor Jeff's way of making up his own kind of doctrine? No. If we understand that, because if we read the Word enough, if we stay around the Word enough, we understand that God isn't the one who's trying to destroy his own people. Amen? You understand that God isn't the one who created evil. Amen. He's not the one who created darkness. Amen. We see that. And so we understand these things from the Word when you understand that, when you look at the Word as a whole. Amen. And that's why it's very important that we don't take scriptures out of context. But see, if we think the wrong things about the Word, then think the wrong things about God. And that's the only reason I say stuff about that, like that, and especially in context of how we read the Word, because we have to understand that we can get tripped up by the wrong thinking. Amen? Praise the Lord. My sister Erin over here, she sent me a text this afternoon. You don't mind if I share a little bit? It was a great question. It's one that I've had, but it was the question about women keeping silent and churches and stuff like that, and we understand, of course, we're taught well around here, these parts, that's not the intent of the Word, but we understand that we have to be able to rightfully divide the Word. The reason I bring that up is because there's a question that if we don't know more about it, and there was a time I didn't know more about it, amen? And I was able to answer the question fairly easily, just with a few things. And of course, I believe it satisfied her desire for that knowledge as well. We know that that's not God's intent, but we have to understand the way God thinks. Amen. We have to understand the way people think, and we have to understand that religion has put some of these things into us. Amen. And so we have to be careful of these things when we're just walking about in daily life, because as you think, so are you. Praise the Lord. You will see in your life what you believe. And if you believe God to be the one who discourages women from ministry, if you believe that God to be the one who tries to take away, give and take away and all that stuff, you're going to believe in the wrong God. You're not going to trust God, and you'll never find the peace that God has desired you to get. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, it's not enough just to believe that God heals. But know that God heals. It's not just enough that God blesses, but know that God is a blessing. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, as I through all the names of God, I never see when God, there's like, I don't know, there's a bunch of different names that God has given himself in Scripture to show us another side of his character. But you know one name I never see in there? God the Destructor. I never see God the one who tears you down. I never see God the wrecking ball. I never see God the one who smites your babies, hallelujah, or kills your grandma or anything else. I never see this in Scripture. It's always, everything that's attached to God's name, everything that is a description of who God is always a good thing. Yeah. Praise the Lord. It's always a just thing. Amen. Yes, he's a just God. We're not gonna make light of that. He is a just God. But God isn't looking for ways to destroy our lives. It's important that we think about God correctly. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Because we'll see, as we think in our hearts, so that's who we are. Amen. Glory to God. Why don't you turn with me to Mark 7. Praise God. Hallelujah. I love the word. I love the truth of the word. The word does always set us free. Glory to God. It always opens the way. It always opens the door for more. Amen. Mark 7, verse 14. We're going to read through 23. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When he, and that's it's talking about Jesus, when he called, when he had called all the multitude to himself, he said to them, "Hear me, everyone, and understand." Praise God. So listen and understand. It matters when you come to church that you don't just listen, but do you try to understand? It matters that I don't just speak, but I try to make you understand. Amen? This is why we preach things over and over again. This is why we give people stuff to stand on. Amen? The answer to every trial that you will face in your life will be found in today's message. Every trial that you'll face in your life is found in today's message. There is nothing that will come against you in life. I don't care if it's sickness. I don't care if it's poverty. I don't care what it is. Praise the Lord. Doesn't matter what comes in. It's going to be answered today. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hear me, everyone, and understand. There is nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. Amen? There's nothing that enters a man from the outside which defiles him. You know, that word defiles means to make unclean. Amen? Now, some people could use this as an excuse to go do those things that Christians shouldn't do. Some people use a scripture like this to go out and sin, to go out and drink, to go out and do drugs, stuff like that. And I've actually heard of that before, and that's why I bring it up. Amen. But we understand that that's not what Jesus was doing here. He wasn't giving us a free pass on all things in sinful nature. Amen. Because and I was thinking specifically of alcohol and drug use. And why was I thinking of that? Because the actual act of consuming it probably doesn't necessarily cause sin. But what do we know? I don't know if you've ever lived in the world, praise the Lord, but I have. I certainly have. And I'm well aware of the effect of drugs, many different drugs and many different kinds of alcohol. And what do those things do? When you put those things in, something comes out, doesn't it? You know, when I would be under the influence of drugs or alcohol, that the things that would come out of me would be different than the things that would come out of me when I weren't there. It's those things that come out of a person those times that defile them. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Why is God so against it? He doesn't want anybody to have fun, does he? oh, God just doesn't care. He doesn't want people to have fun. No, the reason he talks against it is because when you get drunk, you say things. When you get high, you say things that aren't right. You'll say things that aren't God. Praise the Lord. You'll say those things. And what is that? We understand what the danger of talking. We understand that those things can defile us. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. You know, you can be defiled by just starting to talk doubt. That's a defilement, amen? God didn't intend us to talk doubt. But how many know that when you get under the influence of certain substances, that can happen? You know, I used to do that. One of the things I used to love to do when I was under the influence is swear. It was also called cursing, amen? What does the Bible say about that? It said a person shouldn't be doing these things. It says a person, you can't have fresh water and poison coming out of the same place, amen? And so we understand that, and that's exactly what these kinds of things do. Has anyone ever seen anybody who was under the influence of a substance? Well, glory to God. I didn't mean to talk about all that, but I wanted to share it with you anyways, amen? It's the things that come out of a man that defile him. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. When he had entered a house away from the crowd, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. So he said to them, are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from the outside cannot defile him? Because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods. That's a real interesting thing. You know, there's some Christians that still try to get in this bondage. You can't eat certain things. You gotta stay away from this. You gotta stay away from that. What did Jesus say about it? Well, praise the Lord. I know the law said certain things, and I'm not saying that the law is bad, but we do understand this, that Jesus came after the law, right? And when he said something after the law, I guess I would probably go with that over. So we understand that God wasn't concerned with so much with the foods that wasn't concerned with those things. He was concerned about other things. He was concerned about what comes out of a man. He was concerned about that defilement that comes from within. Amen. Praise the Lord. Because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods. And he said, what comes out of a man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, everybody say heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, all these evil things come from within and defile a man. Where do they come from? They come from within. Amen. Praise the Lord. Does anyone know where your thoughts come from? They come from within. Thoughts that you meditate on. All of these things that are listed here, they all start with the thought. They all start with the way that you're thinking, amen? What you're dwelling upon, amen? Praise the Lord. You know, Jesus talked about the eye and how the eye is the light into the spirit, amen? And so if what's coming in is evil, then what's going to come out is going to be evil, because that's you're filling a clean vessel with evil, amen? This is why we talk about things, about what kind of movies you watch, what kind of music you listen to. Matters, folks. It matters. It matters. It matters. What kind of TV shows we're allowed to watch, or we allow ourselves to watch. Amen. Listen, we don't have to put any kind of rules on it and just be like, oh, bless God, I'm just going to do my own thing. It's not that we're just putting rules on it. It's saying that we got to be careful about these things, because these things, they do something on the inside of us. Amen. You know, when you meditate, I find this, I know I use this example often, I'll use it again, when I meditate on the news too much, praise the Lord, I start getting a different attitude. I start, especially today's news. It doesn't matter which news you listen to; they've all got some kind of garbage going on in them. And I find as I meditate in these things too much, what happens? I start complaining. I start getting mad. I start getting fired up. And listen, we should get mad about certain things. I'm not saying we shouldn't, but Jesus said, He said, be angry, but don't sin. Amen. There's a difference between getting angry and getting angry and sinning. How do we sin? Well, we start defiling it by running our mouths. We start talking smack about this person in office or that person in office. Praise the Lord. Now listen, I don't always like everybody who's in office either, but we're not called to talk smack about them. We're called to pray about them. Amen. Now there is a difference if something is brought up pulpit or something like that, or the Spirit of God wants to magnify something. Generally, it's not in the spirit of attack, but it's the spirit of letting people know, amen? Because we need to know that as well. But we, and it's not wrong to talk about something bad that's going on, but what we meditate on, what we spend time, if we spend more time thinking about the news than we're thinking about the goodness of God, guess what we're going to be wrapped up with? Whatever's happening in the news, amen? Oh, praise the Lord. Thoughts are very, they can become a bondage if we don't put a stop to them. We don't put a stop to them ruling us, amen? We have to put them in subjection. The Bible says that we have to do it. This is not something you're going to pray for. You cannot pray for God to take your thoughts away. He can't do it. Why? Because he is not the one who's in control of your mind. God is not in control of your mind. You're in control of your mind. God is not in control of your mind. He has given you free will. He's given you the ability to think. He has given you dominion. He said you have dominion. Amen. Well, where's the first place we have dominion? It's in our minds. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, I found this in life, and this is so true, but somebody who I was actually talking to Pastor Mike Anderson about this today, somebody who projects confidence makes people believe in them. You know, if somebody is confident in their role, if they're confident in who they are, guess what happens? The people around them will also be confident in them. Praise the Lord. That's why people can lead sometimes. Sometimes lead people into bad things because they can project that confidence so well. They can be very convincing. Amen? Well, glory to God. It matters what kind of things come out of us. It matters, and it matters because those are the things that we become. Amen? Those are the things that determine the direction we're going in. We see this, Jesus was talking about the defilement that comes from within. We have to, if Jesus is warning about this, this is something that we need to be very, very steadfast at controlling. The reason that people fail, I have watched this as a pastor now for 5 years. I have watched people come in and I have watched people go. And I can tell you the same thing always, 100%. The same thing always takes people out, whether it's a different situation, doesn't matter. And it all is involved with their thoughts. It all revolves around what they've been thinking. When somebody starts thinking, well, this just ain't working for me, or this ain't working anymore, what happens? They start meditating. They don't put it down with the word. They'll say, wait a minute, God's word always works. See, what you believe of God will be your outcome. If you believe God to be the destructor in your life, well, you certainly aren't going to see the healer working. You know, this is where so many people get messed up because they sit there and they think that they can say and do whatever they want, and then God is going to come in, swoop in, and help them. And it doesn't work that way because God has given the control for us. We don't pray to control our mind. I'm not saying you can't pray to God for help in things, but we have to understand that we have to put certain things down. And the Bible tells us, that Paul said to fight the good fight of faith. Amen? Well, what's a good fight of faith? It's keeping yourself in faith. Yes. How do you do that? Well, the Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing. Yes. Praise the Lord. Hearing and hearing by the word of God. That's where faith comes from. You can't pray for more faith. Why? Because faith don't come that way. It comes by what? Hearing and hearing. So what you believe is what you speak, and what you speak is what you're hearing. Praise the Lord. People who come to church once a month, they are not hearing very much. So their faith isn't going to be built very much. And so when their faith isn't built very much, guess what's not happening? They're not having victory over the devil. They can't. You can't have victory over the devil when you reject the things that God has given you to have victory over him. There is one victory. So what is the victory that overcomes the world? Our faith. That's what the word says. The victory that overcomes the world is our faith. It's our faith. That's your victory. It is bought and paid for by Jesus. The grace is there through Jesus, but it cannot be separated from what you believe. It can't be separated from what you take hold of. If you say, I won't believe this, if you just insist on not believing, I'm not talking about what I'm saying, but I'm talking about what the word says. If someone insists on not believing the word, then they will not have what the word promises them. It's simple. God is not working it some other way. It's such a, it is such a, it's such a snare that the devil has trapped to get people to think that they can pray themselves out of the things they've been saying. You can't pray yourself out. You got to stop saying those things that you've been saying and start saying the things that are edifying. Amen. Why do you think the word talks about speaking? So why do you think it's called the word? Because a word is spoken. Praise the Lord. We didn't need a Savior that just walked around with us. We need a Savior that we can speak out of our mouth. We need a Savior that because that's the way that God intended us to live. Praise the Lord. Yes, Jesus came and he died and he paid a price, and that price was an amazing price, and it's a wonderful thing. I'm not making light of that. But that blood was to lead us to this place where we can use the word of God and be effective when we use it. It was to give us the ability to do the things that God said. The Bible says that Jesus was the firstborn of many brethren. Well, if there's a firstborn of many, praise the Lord, that would indicate that the many are like the firstborn. Amen? What did Jesus do? Jesus went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed, not of God, but of the devil. Amen. But how did he do that? He did that by what he said, by what he taught. Praise the Lord. There was people Jesus never laid hands on. He said, by your faith, let you be healed. Or let you be whole. Hallelujah. By your faith. Glory to God. What's your faith? It's what you believe. It's what you believe. If you don't believe as God the healer, he will not be your healer. He can't be. You bind his hands. Say, well, how do we bind the hands of God? How does an eternal, sovereign God, how does his hands get bound? He is bound by his word. And his word has told us exactly the way the world works. Whether Christians want to believe that's the way it works or not, does not matter. It does not change who God is. We can teach you some complete different doctrine, but if it doesn't line up with the word, it doesn't change who God is. Glory to God. It doesn't change him. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same way he worked back then is the same way he worked now. What was the Israelites? What were their problem? Why did they stay in the wilderness? Because of what they said. Because of what they thought. They said what they thought. And what they thought wasn't God. What they thought wasn't God. All these examples over and over and over are given to us in Scripture, and yet we still fail to see it. We still fail to see it. God's hand will deliver us. Always will. But we have to speak it. We have to think it. We have to be in line with the word. This is why I constantly bring myself back to the word. When I don't feel good, what do? I go back to the word. When I, you know, praise God, hallelujah. One morning not too long ago, I woke up and I heard this in my spirit. Why don't you just live in healing? Why don't you just live in healing? And I thought, that's a good question. Why don't I? Well, the answer to why a person doesn't just live in healing, I mean, it wasn't just speaking to me specifically, like I'm sinning or something like that, but like the reason that people don't live in healing is because they don't have healing in them. They have the healer on the inside of them, but they don't have healing in them. How do I know this? Because they don't know healing scripture. They don't have healing. Listen, if you're dealing with something in your flesh, the worst thing you can do is not put scripture in you. Why do you think I always lead people to scripture when they're dealing with something? It always has to do with what you're dealing with. Because you have to get it in you. You have to get in you. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Faith is what, you know, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 11 that all those people, it goes through the great faith chapter, they all obtained the promise that God had promised them. How they obtained it? They obtained it because God's special blessing was on them. Because God loved them most. Because God looked down on them and had mercy because they cried enough to God. No, it wasn't any of those things. It was only because they had faith. They received because they had faith. Praise the Lord. I said they received because they believed. Because they believed God. They trusted God. They said that no, what God said. Abraham was 100 years old when he became a father. When God came to him, they were younger, right? But they were still very old, much past, to the point where Sarah even laughed. She laughed at him. She said, well, really? I'm going to bear a child? But see, that's the thing. That's not faith. It doesn't matter if God tells you something that's impossible. Listen, making the impossible possible is not your job. That is why most Christians have a hard time with it. Because they're trying to say, well, I can't pay this bill, so therefore I must not be able to do it. Praise the Lord. God can pay that bill. God can heal that sickness. God's bigger. Jesus said in Mark 9:23, he said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. All things are. There is nothing that is without possibility to him who believes. Praise the Lord. Why? because of what you can do? No, it had nothing to do with what you can do. Listen, God knows you can't. I'm going to tell you, if you don't know, just come to me, I'll tell you. Pastor Jeff, can I do this? Nope, you can't. You can't do this, but God can. Can you heal yourself of sickness, of cancer, of any other disease? Praise the Lord. No, you can't. You can't do it. That's what doctors can't heal you. They can't. They might be able to do things to help you, but they can't heal you. They can't make it happen. How do we know that? Because there's a lot of people that have these diseases that die under the same care as others that live. But see, listen to this. The healer can heal all diseases. Why? Because that's who he is. He is personified in his name. Amen? Yeah. Lord, when I think of Mark, I say the name Mark. I don't think about a lot of Marks. I think about this Mark. Yeah. Why? Because that's the Mark I'm most accustomed to. Amen? When I think of Caleb, I think of this Caleb. Why? Because that's what I'm most accustomed to. Amen? Praise the Lord. It's the same thing we think about, you know, our when we say the name, we generally think about somebody we know, and we think about who they are, who their characteristics are. Amen? Praise God. When I think about Mark, I think, oh, okay, sometimes, you know, he's a good guy. And sometimes, no, I'm just kidding. He's a good guy. But, you know, I think a lot of things about these, and I think different things about them. They're all good things. Praise God. Hallelujah. But I think good things, different things, but based on their character. God called himself healer. He called himself provider. I love that he calls himself provider. He's like, who I am to you, provider. Who I am to you is healer. Who I am to you is salvation. What is salvation? Well, that just pretty much covers everything. Praise the Lord. Salvation is not just so when we die we get to go to heaven, but it's to live this life in victory. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. That's his purpose. Who is our salvation? Jesus. Yeah, then you can say it. Jesus. Jesus was our salvation. Amen. I don't know if you're... listen, we'll have an altar call at the end if you don't know. But Jesus is our salvation. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Oh, that excites me. Glory to God. God is so good. Flip over to Hebrews 4:12. Hebrews 4:12. As a man thinks in his heart. You see how it happens. You see why it's this way. Because as he thinks in his heart, it becomes who he is. You know, as a Christian now for a bunch of years, and praise the Lord, and walking this life of faith out, I've already learned that there's many different kinds of periods of time, seasons, if you will, in a Christian's life. I mean, I'm sure there's going to be more. Amen. I haven't reached the end of the road yet. I'm only about, you know, not quite halfway through yet. Glory to God. But, I've noticed that there's times in life where, you know what, I just didn't feel like being a Christian. There's times where I just kind of wanted to give up. There's times where I just didn't want to go on any further. But what kept me going was that drive to desire more of God, to know who he was. We have to keep that alive. You know, Paul told Timothy. Timothy was a pastor who was considering giving up. He was at that place where he probably tired of the trial and just wanted to give up. And Paul said to Timothy, he said, stir up the faith. Stir up the things that were in you. Stir up the gift that was in you. Praise the Lord. Stir these things up. We have to stir it up. Amen. We have to decide. It's easy to get in our, and this is why Christians get stale. This is why religion gets to be religion. Amen. They start off great. But then what happens? Well, after doing things for a certain way, well, we just come to church and we just do our thing week in and week out. That's what. No, we got to stay stirred. We got to stay alive. You know, Pastor Tim said something to me. I think it was yesterday, actually. He said something to me that I just loved. He said, you know, if at the end of the day, I still love God, I figure I'm still doing pretty good. I love that. Yeah, because no matter what happens to you in life, if you still love God, if you're still after God, if you're still like, you know what, God is the love of my life. He's still the one I want to please. At the end of the day, no matter what happened, glory to God, we're doing pretty good, aren't we? Yeah. Praise the Lord, because we have a hope. Yeah. Glory to God, we have a hope. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 4:12. We'll go back to 4:12. Because 12:4 is going to say something totally different. I promise you. Amen. Praise the Lord. For the word of God is living and powerful. Living and powerful. It's living and powerful. Well, what does that mean? It means it's not dead. It means it's not done yet. It means that we have a living word. That means that today in 2019, praise the Lord, it's just as powerful as it was in 1019. It's just as powerful as it was in 19. Glory to God. It's still power. It's living and powerful. It's living and breathing every day. Praise God. Hallelujah. When you look at your life, or you look at the life of someone else, and you see, you know, there's some people I just saw in the news that died. You know, when I was a kid, I was into wrestling. You remember? And you remember wrestling in the 80s? You probably don't, but I do. Praise the Lord. And there was this one guy. He was a big, scary guy. His name was King Kong Bundy. I mean, this man is 6'4", 480 pounds. This guy was huge, and he would avalanche people and splash people and do all that. Well, he died. As powerful as he was, as big as he was, he ain't moving very much now, is he? He's not very much powerful now, and I hope that maybe somebody got to him. I don't know. I mean, you know, I don't know that. But my point is that as large as he was, as big as he was, as powerful as he was, at this point he's dead, and there's none of that there. And why do I say that? Because the Bible says it's living and it's powerful. The Word of God is living and powerful. That means that it still has the ability. It can still avalanche whatever trial that you got. It can still splash whatever. It's still going to call for the 5 count instead of the 3 count because it can. Why? Because it's living and powerful. He did all that stuff. I'm not comparing him to Jesus or Jesus to him, but I'm just saying, you understand. If he can do it, this is much bigger than he is. Amen. Even though it's this little book, praise the Lord. This ain't 6'4", 480 pounds, but I'm going to tell you something. It's way more powerful than he ever was. Way more powerful than any weightlifter, any wrestler, way more powerful than any army, praise the Lord, any king. It does not matter. The Word of God is living and powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Praise the Lord. Why do you think that God gave us this as our weapon? Because it's the best weapon he could have given us. Praise the Lord. I said it's the best weapon he could have given us. Praise God. The best weapon. He didn't, you know, some people get mad. This is the weapon he gave us. You know, we read this in Hebrews, or in Numbers, I think, on Sunday, right? Praise the Lord. We read about how the Bible says that you shall hold your peace, and the Lord will fight for you. Numbers 14:14, right? You shall hold your peace. What is that? God isn't asking you to fight the battles. And this is the problem with so many Christians. They're trying to fight the battles. They're trying to defeat the devil, and they can't defeat him. They keep trying to defeat the sickness. They can't do it. Why? Because they're not equipped to do it. You're not living and powerful. The Word is living and powerful. Amen. Well, you are living. Glory to God. Praising. Just stay that way, at least through the end of the service. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. But the Word is living and powerful. It's what gives us our strength and our ability. This is what gives us our strength and ability. The easiest. Listen, this is going to make it as easy as pie for you. Praise the Lord. See, the Word, right? What do we do with the Word? We speak the Word. We speak the Word. That's our weapon. This is our fight. See, this is the thing. But see, when you're not speaking this, we got doubt around here. We got a package of doubt. Give me some doubt. We don't have any. Yeah, we got some doubt. You understand what I'm saying? We're just speaking out doubt, speaking out inability. We're speaking out those things. You know, pull up your song list. Glory to God. And look at your song list and then think about the lyrics and think about the doubt that comes out of it. Is that like, this is why I can't sing a lot of Christian music. I know I say this all the time, but it's the truth, because it's not edifying. It's not exhorting. It's not building up. It's not worshiping God. It's crying about how bad. And God, maybe if you will, someday you can help me. What do you mean, maybe if you will, or maybe if you can? Praise the Lord. Jesus said he is, he can. God said, I am the I am. I am the one who can. I am the not just the one who can, but I am the one who does. So which God are you worshiping? Which God are you following? Praise the Lord. Because if it's doubt and unbelief, it isn't this God. Praise the Lord. Speak the Word. Speak the Word. When you got trials, speak the Word. Speak the Word, speak the Word, speak the Word. Find what you need and speak the Word. You have a trial with something, speak at it. Might not change instantly, doesn't matter. You keep speaking at it. Praise the Lord. Does it feel good to cry? I don't think it does. Does it feel good to whimper? I don't think it does. Does it feel good to feel weak? I don't think it does. Speak the Word. Praise the Lord. Exalt the Word. Exalt God. Amen. Praise the Lord. We ain't got through the scripture yet. We're still in Hebrews 4:12, right? We didn't go to 12:4 yet. Praise the Lord. 4:12, what does it say? For the Word of God is living and powerful. I can't get beyond that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Maybe somebody else is going to have to come up here and read this. I don't know. Praise the Lord. And sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit. That's the mind and the spirit. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Your mind is going to tell you a lot of things you can't do. But your spirit, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus said the mind is weak, or the flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. Hallelujah. The spirit is willing. You got a spirit. You have not been given the spirit of the world. You have been given the spirit of God. Praise the Lord. You haven't been given the spirit who can't. You've been given the can spirit. See, a lot of people are stuck in the can't because they're stuck in the can't spirit. Stop looking at the can't spirit. You didn't belong there. Praise God. Hallelujah. And of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. See, until today, I didn't really ever understand this fully. A discerner. That word discerner means to judge. Glory to God. It means to judge. Praise the Lord. Discerner means fit for judging. So the word of God will discern the thoughts, will judge the thoughts that aren't right, and it will tell you what to think that is right. It's important to God what you think. Let me say this again. It will judge the thoughts. When you're about to say something stupid. I know you are. You're about to say something real dumb about your situation. So what do? Stop. Praise the Lord. You're going to stop. You're going to open the Word. And you're going to read the Word, what the Word says about that situation. And you go, wait a minute. That don't line up. Well, my thought didn't line up with that. See, it's a discerner. It's living and powerful. It discerns it. And you get this in you, and pretty soon it just starts being in you. And it starts just discerning those thoughts. And you're not even opening the Word because you've got it in you. See, it matters when you get it in you. Because once you got the Word in you, it's automatically discerning all those stupid thoughts that are coming to your head and stopping them before they come out. That's exactly what it's supposed to do. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. What are you intending to do? Well, I have this plan or that plan by God. Jeremiah 29:11. For He knows the plans. Discern your plans. Discern your thoughts. Are those thoughts of God? Is that the way God wants me to go? Praise the Lord. Open the Word and find out. Glory to God. It's a discerner. It's fit for judging. It means the Word of God will help you discern whether what you... See, people don't understand. They're like, I don't know if this God has this for me. So you haven't discerned it. The Word of God will help you discern it. Because you'll find this. You'll be just crazy enough to come across a scripture like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yeah. Oh, you'll be just crazy enough to come across a scripture that says all things are possible to him who believes. Praise the Lord. You'll come across a scripture. Oh, man, don't get real crazy on me. But you'll come across one of the scriptures that says something like, you know, like anything that you ask of God, that he wants to do that for you. Praise the Lord. And maybe you'll start believing that. And if you start believing it, then you're going to really be nuts. Hallelujah. Let's get a bunch of nutty, goofy people in here. Hallelujah. Let's get nutty for the Word. This is good. You know, I'm not talking about flaky. You know what I mean? I'm talking about the good nutty. Amen. Praise the Lord. They'll all think we're nutty. Praise the Lord. I mean, out there. You know what I mean? Praise the Lord. I wasn't waving at anyone in the back row. They'll out there. I wasn't waving at Bob or John back there. Praise the Lord. We're waving at the people out there. They'll think we're nuts, but that's okay. Think we're nuts? We got the Word of God, and it's living and powerful. I said it's living and powerful. It changes lives. Praise the Lord. They'll say, oh, you can't do that. Oh, yes, I can. Well, how do you know I can? Because I know who my God is. You don't know who my God is? I'll tell you who my God is. My God is can. Praise the Lord. He can. He will. My God is willing. You know, some people say that, Lord willing. They use that as an excuse to be in a lack of faith. Lord willing this. Lord willing. Yeah, the Lord is willing. How do you know? Well, the Word tells me is willing. Because generally when they're speaking about it, it has something to do with blessed. Lord willing, I'll be blessed here. You know, just that's the generalization. Lord willing, God will heal me. Lord willing, He'll help us. Lord willing, He'll get us through. Yeah, Lord willing. He is willing. Absolutely, He's willing. That's exactly who He is and exactly what He wants to do. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. It's back this way. 1 Corinthians 2. You know where 1 Corinthians is, right? Yep, right before 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12, praise the Lord. I always find it that way, unless I'm coming from the other direction. And then but then if I go too far, I always know, well, I found 2 Corinthians, so I go back to 1 Corinthians. Amen. 1 Corinthians 2, 12, amen. Now we have received, everybody says, I have received. Not the spirit of the world. Okay, you haven't received it. You just said it. Yeah, right. Amen. I know I told you to say it, but this is what the Bible says. Praise the Lord. We haven't received the spirit of the world. I haven't received the spirit of the world. You haven't received the spirit of the world. We were born into that spirit. We were born, you know, around that, but we didn't receive that. We were given that. Right? You were born into the world. You were given the spirit of the world. Why? Because you were born into the world. But you received something from God, right? When you got born again. If you're not born again, we'll tell you how. And then you can receive this spirit. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God. For a purpose. Does anyone think that there's a purpose for that? Praise God. If I give you something, I have a purpose for giving it to you, right? Some kind of purpose. Well, when God gives something, he has a purpose for it. Actually, you could say this, that God does everything purposeful. Sometimes we do things just randomly. They're just like, oh, I just did this. I don't know why I did this. You ever talk to your kid? Why would you do that? Like, I don't know why I did that. Praise God. They really don't know why. Sometimes people do that too. But see, God is always a purposeful giver. Amen? He didn't just have, oh, I just gave him that. I just decided to give him that. No, God purposefully gives. Amen? Praise the Lord. That we might know the things that have been freely given us by God, to us by God. God wants to give you freely give you things. Praise God. He isn't even a Democrat. I'm just telling you the truth. Hallelujah. I get in trouble for saying that. Praise the Lord. That was a joke in case anybody, you know, praise God. But he wants to freely give us. He's not a socialist. Praise the Lord. Verse 13. Oh, flipping. Get me back here real quick. Okay, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but the Holy Spirit, praise the Lord, teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Praise the Lord. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Who's the natural man? That's the one you were born into. That's why the Christians who insist on living in the natural, apart from the supernatural, that's why they never receive the things that God has for them. That's why they don't fully get into it. God will bless his people as far as he can. But as much as people want to think and stay in the things that aren't of God, that's what they're going to have. Oh, praise the Lord. But the natural man does not receive the things of God, of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. For he can, praise God. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So they're foolishness to the natural man. The things of God, this is why when you say to people, God wants to heal that thing in you that you that is impossible to get healed. This is why people think it's foolishness, because they're natural men. They're thinking from a natural carnal mind. They don't have the ability to think of it the way God. But see, you know God. He's living and powerful. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. And what do we see in the last? It helps us discern, right? Praise the Lord. The word helps us discern. Here we see that again, because they are spiritually discerned. You can't know them unless the Spirit is telling you, and you can't know the Spirit is telling you unless you're listening to what the Spirit says. But he who is spiritual, and we see that word, judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We've been given the mind of Christ, the very mind of Christ. This is the ability that God has placed in us. This is what the discernment is. It's leading us to the things that God has for us, the truths which are in the Word. But again, if you don't know the Word, if you're thinking the wrong thoughts, you're not going to be able to think, because you will be overcome by your bad thoughts. Remember what I said in the beginning, that they become a bondage to you. What is a bondage? A bondage is like, if you think of it like a prison cell on your mind. When you think bad thoughts all the time, I should say it this way. When you allow yourself to meditate and think the thoughts that you normally allow yourself to do, it puts a jail cell around your mind and keeps, praise God, the Spirit of God from getting on the inside. That's what it does. It keeps you, it puts a bondage around you. So it's like the bars of a castle. It's like a thick wall. The Spirit of God can't penetrate it because God is bound by his word. Yeah. Praise God. He's bound by his word. He's not going to go against his word. And so we see this here. We see that that we are bound by these things we thought. So this is why if we allow ourselves to just go down that road of thinking these thoughts all the time and don't stop them, they always take us to that place we don't want to go. You know, God has been expanding my thoughts in ways that I couldn't even imagine lately. He's been allowing me to see things that I could, you know, and the Bible tells us this. You remember we just read that recently in Ephesians, where he said he'll do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can think, hope, or desire. Amen? He's going to do exceedingly abundantly above. Praise the Lord. So what is God trying to get us to do? He's trying to get us all to think exceedingly abundantly. He's trying to open our minds so we're thinking like he's trying to bar out those things that are not God. Because when we get the word in us, now we start seeing what all things that are possible really means. Yeah. Praise God. When you start seeing, oh, glory to God. I started seeing a little bit over today. Because as I was seeking the Lord today and in prayer and just like, see, I started seeing just a little bit. A little bit. Just for my own life. Just a little bit. And he was just opening up some things to me. And I'm like, oh, glory. Hallelujah. This is a good place. This is a place I want to be in. Hallelujah. How do we get there? By thinking the right thoughts. By not allowing those thoughts. So listen, this, you can't think the thoughts of God just on your own accord. But what you have to do is you have to put a stop to those thoughts that aren't God and allow his thoughts to come in. Because what happens is, you ever tried to fill a cup that's already full? Yeah. Well, if your brain is full of garbage, if your brain is full of garbage thinking, then God's thoughts aren't going to, they're just going to run off the top. You ever seen that? What happens, you know what, you take the darkest coffee, black coffee, some tar, right? Pour it in a cup. It looks pretty black, can't see the bottom. But what happens, you start pouring water in it, dilutes it, right? It dilutes it. So when everything's mixed up, it's just all diluted. There's no, the strength is in when it's in its raw form. You know, in fact, espresso, what espresso is, it's the same bean that you have regular coffee. It's just concentrated. So a lot of people think, you know, they're getting something totally different. Espresso is the same exact bean. There's no difference. I mean, there's maybe a difference in how it's roasted, but it's the same bean. But it's concentrated. But when you dilute it, see, that's the same thing. If you're full of whatever, and you try to throw thoughts of God in there, it just dilutes them. You can maybe see a little bit. You can maybe feel a little bit or sense a little bit, but it's all diluted. What we need to do is empty that vessel out of the bad thoughts and put allow the thoughts of God to fill our vessel. Because then when listen, this is the thing. When the vessel is full of God, glory to God, the other thoughts, he's just going to run off. Praise the Lord. Well, glory to God. Ephesians 4:20. Can we go there real quick? Praise the Lord. I'm going the wrong way. Ephesians 4:20. We're getting close to the end, I promise. Ephesians 4:20. This is helping us though, amen? But you have not so learned Christ. We could say this to so many people, but some people we have to say, but this is how you learned about Jesus. You know, some people aren't learning the Jesus that we learn about. Yeah, there's some religions that are—they're teaching bad stuff. They're teaching God wants you sick, God wants you poor, God doesn't want you blessed. God, you know, God doesn't speak through the Spirit. He doesn't give you baptize you with the Holy Spirit anymore. Tongues is gone away. That's not the same Christ. Listen, the Jesus of the Bible said that the Holy Spirit was coming, and he said when he comes, you are going to speak. Yeah. You're going to sound a certain way, and it's not going to be something you understand. Didn't Jesus say that? Yeah. Praise the Lord. I said Jesus said that. Yeah. So people who say it's not the same Jesus. I'm just telling you the truth. Glory to God. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. Praise God. That you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. You remember when we saw the lust back there? Where was it? Praise the Lord. It was back a ways. But we talked about the lusts, the different things. Amen. Jesus was talking about the different things that come in through the mind. Those are lusts. Amen. He's saying put off. He's telling you that you put off. You put it off. How do you put it off? You start with the thought. The thought is what's trying to trap you. You don't do anything unless you think it first. And if you do, you're a mindless idiot. I'm just telling you the truth. Don't walk around like a mindless idiot. Let's say have purpose. Amen. That you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You haven't received the spirit of the world. You have received the Spirit of God. Amen? Be renewed in that Spirit. How do we renew? By listening to the Word. By putting the Word in us. How do we renew the Word? By listening to the Word. How do we renew our mind? By listening to the Word. How do we renew our mind? By listening to the Word. By listening to the Word. By listening to the Word. How do you renew your mind? By listening to the Word. Mark, how do you listen? Or how do you renew your mind? Caleb, how do you renew your mind? Chris, how do you... I know you're getting nervous. She's like, he's coming to me now. Oh, praise the Lord. Listen to the word. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Bob, how do you renew your mind? Hey, it even hit the back wall. It got all the way there in the back row. Ain't nobody's without excuse. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't make me come back in the sound booth. Hallelujah. But I bet you those, yeah, they got it. See, they got it right back there. They're smiling. They're like, yeah, we got it. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But you know people at home on the couch right now? Ooh. I didn't say that. Praise the Lord. Maybe they're listening. No, they're not listening. It's impossible because it's a broadcasting. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Praise God. It's all about what we put on. What we put off and what we put on. Amen. Glory to God. You know, some days, there's been days that I've been going out to go do something, and my wife will say, you can't wear that. You pastor in this town. Praise the Lord. You can't wear that. The other night, we were going out with some friends. She said, you're going to wear something nice, right? Yes, I am. Hallelujah. What did I do? I put off and I put on. I put off what I was going to. Praise the Lord. I put down the ripped jeans. Glory to God. I put down the flannel. And I picked up the nice khaki pants or the chinos or whatever. And then I picked up the nice shoes and then the nice shirt. Praise the Lord. Said, you got to iron this for me. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. That's what I make her do, you know what I mean? Like, if she's going to make me wear nice things, and she got to iron it. That's all there is to it. That it doesn't always happen that way, praise the Lord. But you that was a joke. Some feminazi's going to have fun with that one. Praise the Lord. It is, sister, it is. And soon it'll be online, too. This is why I can't ever run for president. You understand that? Isaiah 55. This is where we're going to close. Isaiah 55, verse 8. Praise the Lord. There was a time in this country where you could joke about things, you know? Like you could joke about each other and it was okay. Praise the Lord. I still do it, but we have a much smaller ear here, praise the Lord, than the whole country is what I'm saying. I'm not limiting the church, you understand. Isaiah 55:8, what does God say? For my thoughts, they ain't your thoughts. Praise the Lord. Nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. What is he talking about? He's talking about your natural way of thinking. It's not his thoughts. That's why you need a spiritual way of thinking. Glory to God. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I look this word higher up, it means lofty, soaring. Praise God. You do good. You do yourself good to think about this, to meditate on this verse a little bit. Read it out, and talk it back to God, and say, Lord, praise the Lord. Show me your ways. Show me your thoughts. They're so much higher. They're so much loftier. Praise the Lord. I just think of a lot. I think of balloons when I think of lofty. Balloons up there in the, you know, soaring up there where the eagles are. Praise God. Up there in the sky, glory to God. That's where his thoughts are. You know, when you're up in an airplane and you look down, it all looks peaceful, don't it? Have you ever done that? Have you ever been in an airplane? You look out the window and you're looking down, and it looks like there's no trouble down there. Praise, unless you're flying over a war zone or something. I guess the explosion probably could. But you know, people are having their lives. They're living their lives. They're doing their things down there. Some people are upset. Some people are having a fight with their spouse. But you wouldn't know it up there. Praise the Lord. You're up there where there's peace. Glory to God. That's why we got to get out of our head and get into his. Let him take us up there where everything looks good, where everything's hunky-dory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because you know, in heaven, that's the way it is. Praise God. I want you to say this with me. In closing, this is where we close, amen. I will not be limited by my thinking. I will be moved by his. Hallelujah. I will not be limited by my thinking anymore. I'm going to be moved by His. Glory to God. See, this is what we have to do, folks. We have to endeavor that if we're going to, your fight is a fight of faith. Don't fight a bunch of things. Just keep your thoughts in line. You ain't got to figure it out. I love it. God was showing me this afternoon. I ain't got to figure it out. I ain't got to know how it's going to work. Some trial comes. I ain't got to figure that trial. He'll let me know when it's time. Praise the Lord. I ain't got to get to the end. Praise the Lord. He'll show me how to get to the end. I ain't got to figure out the map. I ain't got to translate. I ain't got to do any of that stuff. I just got to follow the Spirit of God. And if we get proficient with following the Spirit of God, glory to God, we'll go to the other side every single time. And guess what? You'll be just like the Egyptians. And they gone out of Egypt. People were stuffing money in their pockets. Hallelujah. They were stuffing gold on them. They were saying, here, go, 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 go. Be the same way with us. Bible says, so you shall find favor and high esteem with God and man. Hallelujah. Let's live in that. Let's live in that.